Lord said one time, I especially delight in your employment of worship. For you can be in my presence all the time, says the Lord. For what you understand as worship at times is a sovereign move of mine for refreshing, says the Lord. But know this, you can dwell in my presence like this all the time. All the time. I just came with my refreshing so that you might leave refreshed, says the Lord. But know this, that entering into my presence to worship me, that I may come and manifest myself to you, as you are manifesting yourself to me, I desire to come this way all the time. For there's many, many benefits, and much has been left out concerning my blessings, because very, very few people know very little about this aspect of my nature. For I especially desire in your enjoyment, and then that's not quite the word, I hear it in my spirit, it's stronger. I especially delight in your, it's an enjoyment that turns into a blessing. That's when you release me to bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord would have me go through a few more things. We use the word around here, laser focused. Laser focused. It came to us in the year 2014. And what the Lord means by laser focused, he means single-mindedness. He means this one thing I do, pressing towards the mark of the high calling. He said it this way to us, I have sent my spirit to drive double-mindedness away from the midst of you. You shall be a people laser focused, where my will flows through you as purely and clearly as sunshine through a clear glass window, to bring light to a dark world and to set the captives free. No double-mindedness. Another word that we use around here that may not be familiar is the word blueprints. The document that you have in your hand that we passed out, the present day speaking, it is the prayer center's blueprint. You only have 1 year of that blueprint. We have a blueprint back to 1989, and you only have 2015. I can guarantee you, and I can assure you, and so can others, that since 1989, he has been laser focused for what we are and the part that we play in his overall plan. And I will say that we are a very small part of the overall plan. But we do know our blueprint. We do know what he's called us to do and be and live. And based on that is how we will receive whatever rewards that he has prepared for us. It is our small part in bringing the Father's will to the face of this earth. We are not unique. We are only part of the body. We are not special, but we are obedient. You're not special, but you are obedient. And he is well, well pleased. I'd like to address a few things in addition to what Gary spoke last night at what we would call the Calling and the Lost service. I only want to put my PS. He can do a much better job at the PS, but he's allowed me. Actually, I didn't ask him if I could do it. I'm just going to do it. The Holy Spirit enforces spiritual truth. If you would like to write that down, those of you that keep notes, I would recommend that you keep notes. The Holy Spirit only enforces spiritual truths. And the spiritual truth that he enforces in your life is your blueprint. It's what he has said about you as an individual. And it does not have to be a word from, it has to be his word. But it can be a word that he's given you. But he enforces that spiritual truth. He will enforce every spiritual truth that he has given us within the present day speaking. He enforces positional truth. Everything that he has said about the prayer center within that document is how heaven looks at us, not how we look at ourselves. And everything that he has given you personally, he anoints it and he will fulfill it. And anything outside of that, you're not co-laboring with him, because he has that plan for you and he has chose to share it with you in times of fellowship, that you can walk into everything that he has said, no matter who believes it, as long as you believe it. The next thing I'd like you to write down is 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more valuable than 4 years of mindless confessions. The majority of what we did last night was mindless confessions to many of us, including me. Okay. I will read one. The third one on the list last night, the third one, was a minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. We have a minimum of 500 intercessors who are holding up the message that has come to maturity. We are able to get along with each other while the Father works revival in our midst. A minimum of 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week. Within your gifting, within your calling, you would read that statement and develop godly hope for your calling and for your anointing and for your place in the body. When I read that, Lord, that's 52,000 babes in Christ at the end of the first year. How are we going to nurture them? How are we going to care for them? Where are the helpers? Where is the media? Godly hope. Lord, I don't have any idea. Would you please show me? Would you begin to tell me what is your plan for 52,000 in 1 year? How many languages do they speak? If you're called as a teacher, are you preparing to be one that's used to train them up? It's awfully quiet in here. But that's godly hope. In your own life, well, let me go to a minimum of 500 intercessors. Who are holding up the message that has come to maturity. We may have 10, 15 true intercessors. How do we communicate with them? How do we share the needs of the revival? Or of just today, a minimum of 500. Can you imagine? Normally, I could ask you to close your eyes, but I don't want you to fall asleep. So, can you imagine having the ability to communicate to 500 intercessors worldwide? That all go before the throne and present the needs of the revival. Without them, it's all possible in the day that we live. Gary just recently told us of a story, and I could use somebody else's story, but he just told us of an incident where somebody travels and is a missionary, and they went somewhere and they decided to take a walk in the jungle, and this individual heard a voice, and the voice sounded like Gary Carpenter. And they listened and they were amazed. And so they walked farther in the direction of the noise. And there was, his voice got louder, like, you know, how could he be here? And they come across, and I'm going to put it in my terms, and don't judge me. They come across a village where a pastor was presenting Gary's messages on a cassette machine, and he was teaching them what was taught at the prayer center. What kind of a reward is awaiting for all of us if he finds us just obedient? Just obedient. The enemy's telling every one of us we don't count. What a laugh. Need to put your foot right on his neck and tell him shut up. 4 hours spent developing godly hope. You can write this one down. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. Hebrews 11:1. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. I'll read two excerpts from the document when the Lord gave Gary the 4 hours. 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. I remind you again of the Father's plan for Abram, which came first, hope or faith? First came the image of hope as he led Abram out to see the stars. By what method the Father painted hope on the canvas of Abram's heart, Abram now had a vision. First came the vision, first came the hope. Hope must be imparted first, son. A lively hope that is more real than the natural circumstances. That's for your life. That's for what we titled, we didn't title it, the Lord, Blueprint. When Noah was supposed to build an ark, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a plan, and you make it exactly like I tell you to make it. When the tabernacle was built, you build it exactly like I tell you. There was never an ark ever built before. There's never been one since. The same way with the tabernacle. And that's your life. That's your life. That's not the person next to you, their life. It's your life. If you don't know your blueprint or your plan, how can you add hope to it so that it'll ever come to pass? You have a great, we all have a great responsibility to bring every single word that he has said about us to pass. He didn't give you the word to say, I'm going to go do all the work for you. I mean, you know all this. It is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. It is developing the godly hope. The other thing that you will hear much, I believe much, is that this is a year of power. This is a year of power. If you are interpreting the word power as miracles or as manifestations of his presence, it is a very limited hope that you have within your heart. Power has already arrived at the prayer center. And power has already arrived in each one of your lives this year. I'm going to give you some examples. And I want to take the time for you to think about who you are today versus who you were a year ago, so that you can shut up the enemy's thoughts. Are you walking in more love today than you were a year ago? You don't have to answer, but you have to think about it. There is no greater power than the love. Everything comes to it, everything goes through it, and everything goes out of it. And I can guarantee you, you're walking in more love. Because he's laser focused. He's the one that said, this is a year of power. And he's the one that's directing every single one of your steps and every single one of your thoughts and every single one of your actions to where you're walking in more love. You're walking in more forgiveness. I can't even say you better be because I know you are. You're walking in more unity in the Spirit with each other. I've been privileged to have several meetings over the last week. The Lord's allowed Leah and I to be a part of some what you would call, what the world would call large ministries, etc. But I have never, ever, ever been in unity in spirit with the brethren like I'm experiencing now. That's not my doing. It's his doing. He's the one that said, I'm going to create a level of unity that we can walk together clear until I return, preferring each other more than yourself, etc., etc. But you're walking in more unity. You're walking more in dying to yourself, even though you don't like it. Dying to yourself. Putting yourself on the cross. You're walking in more believing. You're walking in more trusting. You're walking in more endurance. Your mere presence at this conference. Did any of you come and it was a piece of cake to get here? Did any of you just walk through the tulips and just arrive here and everything's just great and wonderful and, you know, no trials come before you, no hell come against you. You just walk through really easy and fun. I don't see anybody raising their hand. I'll call her out as an example. I laugh about it, but I didn't have to go through it. But I just laugh at it. She left Dublin, Ireland, and was 3 hours over the ocean, and all the lights went out on her plane. All the power. Everything went completely black. They turned the plane around. When she landed in London, the fire trucks met them. Now this is, and no power. So she has to sit on the plane. Most likely she was the only light in the plane because she had peace and joy. And like, oh, no big deal. And they fixed the plane. And if you can believe this, and you should, she had to stay on the same plane and fly back over the same ocean to get here. Every one of you have fought the good fight to get here. I mean, it comes with the territory. Part of this year's power. And this is the last one I'm going to mention, but if you want to keep notes, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I recommend that you read the whole chapter, and I'm only going to read several verses of it. But you'll recognize the event in the early church. And it's Paul speaking to them, and it's 1 Corinthians, not 2nd. So they were a brand new church, etc. And he says, it's reported commonly among you that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. There's much teaching on that over the past, but this is what's important. and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. In the Amplified, it says, and you are proud and arrogant, and you ought rather to mourn, bow in sorrow and in shame until that person who has done this shameful thing is removed from you, fellowshipping in your midst. We have been given the authority this year to mourn. And that is a power. And maybe some of you already know this and have already lived this. But the Lord is crying out for people who are able to truly mourn, like Paul addresses in chapter 5. For the condition of the church, inside the church. We can mourn, or we can pray for the world and pray for our leadership, and I'm sure you all are doing it. It's been a truth forever, but he recently said, you know, that you praying in tongues uses the same amount of authority as if you're praying in English and you know what you're saying. That your spirit is praying those things that you don't understand. We know all that. But he's saying you're able to use your authority to pray in the spirit against the evil. And he chooses what evil you're praying against. And you're using your authority. Not a little bit, but completely. And he has asked us to open our hearts, open our minds, and identify and allow him to identify what he would have you mourn over. We are in war, you know it. We are in the end time. I will say something about the handout, because we're going to go into it. The handout of the present day speaking for the prayer center is very laser focused, as you know. There is very little in the words that the Lord gives us in regards to end time prophecy. He's not ignoring it, but he has us laser focused on the call of the prayer center to bring a supernatural revival. You know those truths. I am not against, nor is anyone against, or in disagreement with, or ignorant of the fact that there are other parts of the body that are equally as important that are getting end time prophecies. It's not that we ignore them, and it's not that we pay no attention to them, but our laser focus is what he has said to us. Not necessarily what he's saying to others. And those individuals are just as called and is just as laser focused, and their intercessors are just as laser focused on end time. We are in the last generations. I'm not here to teach that, but you know how serious it is. The other thing about the present day speaking and other prophecies, the time of when the Lord speaks it and when the fulfillment of it takes place has way, way, way shortened And if we go back 5 years or 7 years, and he has said things to you personally or to us as a body, and they're coming to pass now after 10 years, 5 years, even 15, 20. But now, when we read several of these that the Lord's chose to be read, he said it in March and July. It's already taken place. You almost can't call it a prophecy based on what we felt as though prophecies was from the Old Testament. It's like, I'm going to tell you, and you better listen. Please, please listen, because it's coming quickly. Quickly. Let's go to the handout, Lord's Present Day Speaking. I've said this is the Lord's blueprint for the prayer center. It's his laser focus. It's the mind of Christ coming forth. We are going to go to March the 30th. If you don't have, I want to say it in all honesty and all love, if you don't have your own present day speaking for your own life, which is your blueprint, I encourage you, I more than encourage you, please, I beg you, get it. This, if you don't take, I shouldn't say it that way, Lord. It would be good for you to take everything that the Lord has said to you and turn it into praise and worship. Turn it into confessions. Go and find scriptures that verify it, or words that he has given a body, and make it so solid inside of you that you will still the enemy's voice, and that will build that godly hope. Praise and worship somehow, and maybe some of these men could tell us, somehow stills the enemy's voice. When you begin to worship what heaven is worshiping about you and what the Lord has said about you, because the enemy wants all that worship. He wants everything he's telling you to be your blueprint. And you can confess it, and you absolutely should. But if you take another step along with it and turn it into praise and worship, it seems as though, at least I will say in my life, but in others' lives also, the emotions get involved when you begin to see who you really are. And you begin to praise him for that. There's no other place to be. You enter into his presence, etc., etc. Okay, I'm going to begin to read March 30th. If you've not read this before, let me add this, that this entire document is out on the website for those of you that don't know that. Not only is it transcribed, but the audio of each one of these is out on the website that you can download. You want to hear it? I'm not going to do it. But whatever phone you have, you can download it, and you can play it when you're driving in the car. You can lay it on the pillow next to you, you can play it in the background of almost anything that you're doing. This is the time of reordering things. Do not be surprised at relationships that seem to fall by the wayside. Let these things be, and take heed to pray as I lead, for I am intent on bringing my order to things. Those things that seem to be of me, but are not according to my purpose, I must reorder and bring change to, or they will become an interruption to what I'm bringing, not only on an individual lives, but on a worldwide scale, and relationships are key in what I'm bringing. When that began, and when it began in your life, I don't know you, but if I sat down and we had fellowship one-on-one, tell me if this has taken place in your life. I dare to say that every one of you would say yes. And it hurt. It hurts. It does not hurt your spirit, because the Lord is doing it, and He brings grace and truth. He never brings truth without grace for you to receive His instructions. Never, ever. That's why some people that are in your life that you try to listen to, you can't listen to them, because they're only trying to bring truth without the grace of the Lord attached to it. But it hurts. And it hurts human compassion. And your spirit sometimes grieves. You could call it intercession. When this starts taking place. I talked to a gentleman yesterday. And he was telling me about one of his friends. And I had just been praying for that individual about 2 weeks ago. And he just come up in my prayer time. I mean, like you all, you don't control your prayer time. You know, he just brings someone to your mind and you're not praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you know, he gives you either an interpretation or whatever however he does it, the bottom line of it is you're obedient and you begin to pray for them and you don't even know why you're praying for them and you haven't thought about them for a year or 2 years or whatever. And it's, I don't know who said the saying that God is sneaky. He doesn't tell you why. He just wants your obedience. Didn't he tell us this year and maybe last year also that you don't even take any consideration for the small things that you've done that has helped someone else. You know, you were too busy or we haven't learned to wait on Him, but, you know, the small things that you have done. And then He adds very much value to it. He says, in the small things is where your transformation comes. So since that came, and as you, maybe this is the first time you've heard it, since that came, Lord, it was just a small thing. But I can worship You. I can praise. I can thank You for just the small thing. I didn't know that it was that important to You that I had a little girl sleep in front of Lee and I last night in the service. Only up there. I'm not bragging. You have them every day. You have those instances where you have helped someone. And the Lord's wanting to open your eyes to see how valuable you are to the kingdom on a day-by-day-by-day basis. Not tomorrow, today. The hugs that you've already given. The smiles. The love that you've shared. Just in this conference. The little things that causes transformation. Causes you to become more like Him. Can you imagine Jesus only really ministered Really, he ministered 4 years, but let's keep it with 3.5, 4 years. And he spent a whole day sitting at a well. The whole day. Why wasn't he out evangelizing the world? And how much did that change? Only he knows, and we will know someday, how valuable it was that one day. And we get to read about it. Next paragraph. Hold on to nothing in your own strength. And be careful to make nothing happen in your own strength. Instead, wait on me. Is that the hardest thing for you to do? Can I see a hand? Of just waiting. Holy Spirit, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to go do it. I mean, I can't wait on you. So, you know, it's got to get done. So you stay here and I'll go do it. And then I'll come back and we'll have fellowship. I can remember once again, Gary entered into a fast, and Pastor Dave called him and said, would you like to go to lunch? And Gary said, no, I can't. Whatever he said to him. Now, this was many, many years ago. It would never happen today, right? Never happen. And when he got off the phone with Pastor Dave, the Lord said, you were supposed to go to lunch with Dave. I never take you out of fellowship with what I've asked you to do. You could have went with Pastor Dave to lunch, and you could have begun your fast when you come back. Is that close to being right? That's what he wants. That type of obedience. Hold on to nothing in your own strength, and be careful to make nothing happen in your own strength. Instead, wait on me. I'm in the midst of bringing many things in order, as I am allowed to bring change into individual lives. I will establish my plans and purpose on a global scale. He wasn't talking about Tulsa. He was talking about every one of you being a part of this. Incidentally, you may already know this, most likely you do, but every single word in this document is written to you personally. And if you're reading them like it's written to someone else, you've already made a mistake, and a course of correction has to take place. Now, I'm quoting a word that came for sometime over whenever. But every word that the Lord has ever spoken, that he didn't specify a certain individual, like a Moses or a Joshua, every single word you need to read like it's only written to you and no one else. And stay at that level. Those of you that are first-time people here, you know, and you think you're late, you can't be late. You sit outside of time with him. You're not late. I mean, he's told us that over and over and over again. All of your failings, every time the enemy brings up everything. The Lord is the only one that can redeem all of that lost time, and he's quite able to do it, and he will do it. There was another word that came forth in regards to, I will treat you like you have never failed me, and you are a prodigal son that has returned, and I will put the robe on you, and I will give you the ring for your finger, and we will go on from here. I keep no record of the past. That's who you are. That's a word for all of us. It's that you may not know it or you may have never heard it. But as you get into the Word, I mean, there's scripture after scripture that says the same thing. It's just happened that he's become, he's the best teacher. There's no other teacher. He's the best scribe. He just, when people are speaking here and a word comes forth, we used to say that he interrupted. We used to kid around like, he just interrupted my message. No, he didn't interrupt your message. He just had something more to say, and you were saying it. Incidentally, when you take this document, if you do what I'm hopeful that you will do, you have to be very careful that you read the A's and the B's and the C's as one prophecy. In other words, he has a mind for a service. And in that service, there may be three different prophecies. Because he didn't get to say enough, or he chose not to say it, and he was going to wait and say it again. So if you see a number out here that says, I think we'll get to one. Well, we may not get to one, but if there's an A and a B, read it as one. I will give you another hint. If you really, really, really want to digest it, and if you really, really, really love it, go get the service that it came forth in and listen to the service while you have this document to read. Because all of the scriptures and the mind of Christ, where they have this scripture and this scripture and this scripture, and he takes those scriptures and decides to give us a word that means the same thing, and you don't have to go look them up because they already did the work for you, because it was part of the service. Lots of fun. Lots of fun. And some of the words that come forth are not in the services. At the prayer center at this moment, when I talked about if you have a word from the Lord, be sure you document it, a dream, a vision, put it in the box. We have wonderful gifts, and they receive words. And it's never out of place. It happened on the same day. It happened at 4 o'clock in the morning, or it happened at 10 o'clock at night. But you merge them together in here, and you won't know the difference. Well, you would if you would listen to the audio. But it's everything that he wanted us to know at that very moment in time. And yes, he wants you to go find scripture. Yes, he wants you. But it is a blueprint, or it is the narrow path. It is the way to walk so that you don't... I don't see the narrow path anymore as a gutter on this side and a gutter on that side. What I see, a cliff that we'll fall off of instead of just a gutter. It's that laser focus. He didn't say a flashlight. He said a laser focus. I'm not going to read any more. Hopefully that whetted your whistles. Let's go to June the 2nd. No compromise. I'm just going to let you mark it because it's 11:30, and I'm just going to let you mark that one, and then I'm going to let you mark a couple more, and we'll just adjourn until this afternoon. I will go to July the 12th. I would say that those that we've marked, it would be good that you read them, had fellowship over them with those that you are with. Because I believe that the future services that take place this week will be narrowing in on some of these, if not all of them. The July 12th one says, death means death. He told me one time, death means death. And I hear it rising up. I brought you to the precipice. You can read the whole thing. What I want to show you is that's an A. Then there was a B. And the B is, this is the year where more flesh goes on the altar. That's July the 12th, and it has a B after the number. And then when these two came forth, because he said, death means death, and I hear it rising up, I brought you to the precipice. When did he say it the first time? The first time that he said it was in 1997, which is C for the same date. It's so wonderful that if he says, I've told you time and time again something, we're able to go back and pull the time and time again and merge it together and know that he's never changed his mind. Now I'm going to let you turn to the back page. And do you see the last one? I deliver grace. Clear the last page. Do you see the date? Very seldom in the family of the prayer center has the Lord went silent and has said nothing since August the 26th. That does not mean that the messages that have come forth has not been as powerful or as anointed or as much the best things to eat. But he has went silent since August the 26th. There's no sin in the camp. It's happened twice before in recent years. I could go back and tell you when it happened before because somebody researched it for me. But that means that he is ready to speak this week. Yesterday morning, an individual received a word from the Lord. That individual, would you like to hear it? That individual does not know the prayer center. That individual is not familiar with everything that you're familiar with. That individual is brand new. He's one of the individuals that the Lord said he's rearranging. If I began to talk about the rearranging the Lord has done worldwide, I still feel, when am I ever going to trust you? When am I ever going to trust you? You have done so much ahead of us, so much. You have prepared so much to release this revival. When am I ever going to trust you? You have trained people. You have given them your heart for this. And all we have to do is walk through it. It's going to be so wonderful. Lord, nothing's going to catch you by surprise. I will read this and then consider yourselves dismissed. During the worship, I got a word from the Lord for this house, this church. It confirms exactly what they said they are believing for. That's why when the Lord gives you something this week, if the enemy tells you you're unworthy and nobody will listen, you need to call him a liar out loud. You really do. If this was kept private, you wouldn't receive the joy that you're going to receive. Yea, says the Lord, For I have waited long with this house, as I waited with Abraham. The message wasn't even delivered about Abraham. I could go line for line and tell you things, or the way I love to read it, but I love to read prophecies when I'm by myself, and I ask the Holy Spirit to read it to me. I don't read it to him. I say, will you read this to me? You said it. Will you tell me again what you're saying? Try it. Have a box of Kleenexes or something. For I have waited long with this house as I've waited with Abraham. But lo, Isaac is about to be born. For thus saith the Lord, I am only just beginning with this house. For I have waited and tested you and found you faithful and humble. Therefore, prepare. For now the Lord shall exalt thee, and growth is coming. For there shall be miracles and manifestations of the Spirit in this house. I have heard your prayers and have answered, but it is not the presence of what was that is coming, but a new anointing and a new level of power that shall come upon this house, for I have a purpose for this house yet to be revealed. For this house is yet a babe in what I shall accomplish through it. For you are the diamond set in the rock. But now know the Lord is about to adorn you. That means cut us out of the rock and let us look like a diamond. For I am bringing sons to this house, Elijah's into this house, and I shall bring sheep into this house to receive what I'm going to do. For I have found you faithful, and I have found love in your midst, says the Lord. In my spirit, I see miracles and lame men walking in the service, and a demonstration of power in the time to come in this house, that many shall be healed in the turmoil in time to come. That's you. Love you. Thank you for spending the morning with me and the Lord. And we will see you at 2:30.